I'm Lex, she's Jen, and we are the Blatchlorettes. On this week's episode, we're covering Love is Blind Season 8 and the second half of Joe Millionaire, and maybe we'll talk about the courtship for a little bit. I don't know. We'll see if we have time.
Yes. There's so many things going on. You know what? People have been listening to our hour and 35 minute long episodes, so I think we have enough time, okay? We have nothing but time at this point. If you're willing to listen, then we're willing to talk about it.
Usually anything over an hour, I'm like, oh Lord, like it's a long episode. Who's going to listen to all of this? But you all be listening. You all really be listening to these long ass episodes. I'm like, who wants to hear us talk for an hour and 40 minutes? But you guys do. So
our besties do. They love us.
Which is very flattering. Thank y'all for rocking with us and rocking with our long ass episodes. We're not doing it on purpose either. We're just talking.
We're trying. I cut out a lot. People don't realize sometimes we record for 2 hours and I've managed to shave off half an hour of conversation to get us down to an hour and 30 minutes. So you should be grateful that I edit. Thank you.
Yes. Jen be cutting out all the bloopers. Maybe one day we'll release a bunch so you can hear, but our bloopers are funny too. I'm not even gonna lie, they're funny too. So
yes, the bloopers and the shit that's too nasty for the pod, where we're just like, oh
yes,
no, we need to go
there. Oh my god, there was one time Jen cut off a whole ton of nasty shit. I was like, Jen, why did you do that? But she was probably right for to do it, to be honest. Like, I'm not gonna lie, we were extra horny that day.
We were both ovulating. Something was in the water.
Something was in the air. Anyway, not that you want to hear about our ovaries, but isn't that why you listen to us anyway? Anyway, on to Love is Blind, Season 2, Episode 8. Last week, I was like, the episode ended with Natalie and her parents in her apartment. And Jen was like, no, the episode ended before that. And the episode started with Natalie and Shane preparing to see her parents. And I watched it today, and the episode actually started when I said it was going to start. So take that, Jen.
I was wrong. I hold that.
But we'll cover before anyway. I just wanted to say that because I'm stubborn as fuck. I'm a Taurus.
Listen, this is why I don't date Taurians, okay? Everyone knows this, okay? This is not like Molly and Taurian from Insecure. This is just Taurus people. It doesn't work
stubborn.
With me.
We're annoying.
But that's why
hell.
We're friends. That's why we're friends. It's better that we're both annoying together.
Yeah.
Dating each other.
Because I'd be like stubborn as hell and be like, this is it. And Jen is the type of annoying where she'll be like, oh, I didn't tell you about this. Oh, I'm working on this. I'm like, what do you mean you're working on this? When did that happen? She'd be like, oh, I didn't tell you. I was doing this for the past couple of months. I'm like, Jen, what the hell? Why didn't you say anything?
Okay. First of all, Lex is trying to pretend she's never done the same thing, and that is incorrect.
True.
Okay, that is
that's
inaccurate.
True.
When Lex
shit.
Changed jobs, do you know what I found out? What it had already happened. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
She was just like, oh, yeah. And my new job. And I was like, new job? What is this? What are you talking about? Oh, yeah. Girl, I quit. I got an interview at this other place. It was great. And I was like, hey, and what am I?
Yeah, I'd be doing the same shit too. I'm not going to lie. So that's why I'm annoying. Anyway, getting over our annoyances. So last time we spoke, the couples were doing their thing. They're in Chicago, looking at each other's apartments a little bit. Some people met the parents, some people hadn't. So Natalie and Shane are like preparing to meet Natalie's parents. And Natalie's parents have zero clue about anything. So they have to break the news that she's in a relationship and she's about to get married. Which I was like, ooh, how is this gonna go? I don't know. Like her mom might not be having it. So their plan is for Natalie to go to the apartment, meet her parents, for Shane to go pick up food, and to meet the parents after she has already broken the news to them. And I'm like, all right, girl, if this is the plan, I'm behind you. I don't know. She knows her parents well enough.
She didn't even tell them she had got on the show. They didn't even know what she was doing this whole time. Mm-hmm. So imagine you go on vacation. They knew that she was filming something. And so she couldn't have her phone. That's why they couldn't talk. But imagine your daughter disappears for 2 weeks, 3 weeks actually, if we're being like super honest, like almost 3 weeks on a thing. She comes back and she's, oh, I was filming Love is Blind and I'm engaged. And this is where I live in my new apartment with my fiance who'll be here in 5 minutes. Here, babe. Here's everyone.
Exactly.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Exactly. That's exactly how it was. Because her mom and dad came up and her mom kept being like, whose apartment is this? I don't understand. This isn't your apartment. Where are we? And she was like, oh, I'll explain everything. It's my new apartment. It's my new apartment. And her mom's not buying it. Her mom's like, no, this is not your new apartment. Whose place is this?
Yeah. It's whose place is this? Are they keeping you a hostage here? Blink. Tell us if you need help. It was just a lot. Her dad is like, it's okay. Let's just listen to what she has to say. Because we find out, of course, that Natalie's dad was the stay-at-home dad type who spent most of the time with her growing up. Her mom was the breadwinner. And so the dynamics are not the traditional dynamic we're used to, quote unquote, where the mom is at home and the dad's at work. So her dad's like, it's okay. Natalie's our baby. We'll just listen to her. Let her tell us what's going on. Let her talk to us. And her mother does not take the news well.
Nope. Her mom is get away from. She's trying to show her mom the ring and then her mom slaps the ring away. Get away from me. No, this yeah. is not real.
I would feel the same way. You think I could do that to my mother? Lex, could exactly. we do that to your mother? Like, absolutely no. not.
My mom absolutely would watch not. Me like I was insane. What do you mean ring? Where is this guy? What happens?
Yep. Yep. It was very much what a traditional immigrant parent would say. I felt very seen in that moment where I was like, yep, this is my mom right here. She slapped Natalie's hand away so fast. It was just like, yes. No, I don't want to see this. What is going on?
Don't tell me this shit. Okay, whose apartment are we in? So her mom's really not accepting it. And then Shane walks in. And, you know, so they do like the little meet and greet. I think once she saw Shane, that's when it was like, oh shit, like this shit is real. Like she got a whole fiance and this is this guy and he's right here. Like what? But it's slowly but surely they're like accepting it. They have a lot of questions. They want to know what he likes about her. I honestly can't remember too much from this moment. I just know like her mom was slowly accepting.
Yeah. They became really acceptant of it just because I think they realized how much they cared for each other. So one thing we can say is that from day one, it's obvious Natalie and Shane care for each other. And that has never been up for debate, no matter what happens throughout this process. They care for one another very deeply. The reasons for that I cannot say, but they care. And so the one thing that I noted in this interaction was that Shane clearly had partaken in something to help to calm him, I will say, or keep him level-headed. Because there was a point where he was saying words that made sense, but his leg was bouncing up and down like a fucking jackhammer. He was just like very twitchy. And I was just like, He was nervous. It was from before the beginning. Like he was obviously nervous when he went to get the food. He was unsure. It was like, what's happening here? But he held his own despite the twitch. He held his own.
Yeah. But I'm like, you're saying that was him the majority of the show? Like the majority of this show, he was like twitching. Like he had an itch that he just couldn't scratch. Or like he was Frankenstein. Like the limbs just didn't work quite right. Like when one set was still, the other was moving.
Yeah, the other thing there was a lot going on.
Yeah. The other thing that stood out for me this moment that I thought was a red flag was Natalie's mom was like, what is it about Natalie? And he was like, oh, from the get-go, she was just like very sure about me. And I was like, okay, but what is it about Natalie? What is it about Natalie? Not what is it about how she feels about you? What is it about Natalie? But he couldn't come up with an answer for that. But that seemed to placate her parents. And I was like, y'all, if it was me, I'd be like, girl, red fucking flag. Get out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it went well. It went better than I expected it did.
Yes.
And I think it went better than she expected as well. But I can see that her mother is still a bit hesitant and that it's her dad that's really carrying this along. We love Natalie. We trust Natalie. If she thinks a man is right for her, then we're going to believe her. Okay? We're going to... Because we taught her what love was. We taught her what relationships should look like. So we have to hope she's not stupid. That's pretty much what the dad was on. Like,
yeah,
the dad is not stupid. Like, she's got this. Mm-hmm. She's got it.
Yeah, the dad was like, we have a great relationship. So hopefully I did my job and she's finding a guy who has the same relationship. And I was like, oh,
I guess. Okay, so my question now is, do you want to jump to just cover all of the Shane and Natalie stuff before we do each couple situation, like together as a whole.
Actually, yeah, we can do that because they jump around in this episode a lot too.
Yeah. So then the next Shane Natalie scene that we meet them at is when Natalie meets Shane's mom. The mom that he won her to wear the sexy low cut red dress for.
Yes. Yeah. Which was very weird. And she didn't wear it, thank God. Like, I forget what she wore, but I feel like it was a much more understated, like, nice dress. Meeting the mom dress. Because why the fuck would she listen to Shane?
Exactly. I was like, no, his mom doesn't need to see you in a sexy outfit. That makes no sense. But they meet at a restaurant. So she doesn't come to the apartment. They meet like a restaurant or something. And it appears as if Shane's family is all from like Wisconsin or Iowa or somewhere Midwesty. So they don't live in Chicago. And that's when you're kind of like, oh, okay, so he lives here, but they don't. Awkward. All right. Mm. And they're at the restaurant, they're talking, and it's very obvious that Shane's mother is still heavily grieving. And this is when we find out that it's literally only been 3 months since his dad died. This is literally 3 months, almost to the day, since his father passed away. And I'm like, you've been in the show for over a month. So that means you went on the show 2 months. Like, you...
Right after his dad passed. Like...
I couldn't do it. So I guess you're a trooper, but I could never do that. But like, his mom tears up. There's this very emotional moment where they're talking about the dad, and the mom likes Natalie right away. That's not hard to do or see because they were very much in at the moment. But my real note is that it's only been 3 months since his dad died. This is probably not a good idea.
No, definitely. And I remember he mentioned it in the pods. Like, he kept saying that my dad died recently. But I don't know if we knew it was this recent. Like, this is hella recent. But he seemed to be perfectly fine. Apparently, I don't know. He got some something helping him out. The other thing that I noticed from this is that there was this one moment where he awkwardly asks, he's like, Mom, do you approve? And I was like, this is so fucking weird because it was so clear. Natalie didn't care if his mom approved. And his mom didn't need to be like, his mom was like, why the fuck were you asking me this question? This is your life. You can see it on her face. She was like, this is a weird ass question to ask me.
Yep.
But she was just like, yeah.
And then when he got the approval, he went off and took a deuce in the public bathroom at the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was like, this is so weird. If I was with someone and they asked their mom if they approved, I would be like, we're not together anymore. Like, why does that matter? You're a grown-ass man. Jeez.
Yep. Yep, it was very weird. Very weird. And honestly, we didn't need the announcement on camera that we were going to go take a shit now that your mom approved. I didn't need that. I was okay without it. But Natalie was like, no, you're not. And he was like, yeah, I am. She was so embarrassed.
Yeah, nobody needed to hear that. But apparently they wanted us to. And then the next scene, I don't know the next scene. Was it wedding gowns? Did we see Natalie?
Yeah, so the end of the episode was like wedding gown stuff. So now let's hop back in to the earlier part of the episode, and we'll be talking about Malvador.
Yes.
our toxic couple. Well, are there a favorite toxic couple this season? I don't know. I feel like there's just something off about this connection.
There's a lot of toxic couples.
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of them are my favorite.
So there are no Claire. There are no Claire and Dale. There's no Claire and Dale this season to really be into it. But I don't know.
Maybe Mal and Sal. If all the toxic couples... They might be the ones where I'm like, ooh, the drama. Not my favorite, but I'm like, ooh, let me see this. Let me watch this for the drama. Yeah.
There's a lot that's edited. There's a lot that's edited out of their interactions, and that's the problem, right? Because we can tell there's something missing. Like, there's a lot missing from these conversations that we are not seeing. And I'm like, really? That's it? They don't fight at all? Or when they do fight, it's really weird stuff that either Sal's bringing up old shit from weeks ago, or... we're seeing like the end of an argument as opposed to like somewhere in the middle or the beginning, like with Nick and Danielle, for example. We're always seeing the beginning of Nick and Danielle's arguments and then the makeup. With Mal and Sal, we're not really seeing anything except for tension and the end, if that makes sense.
Exactly. They'll be like, oh, we had a heated conversation last night. I'm like, whistle with the cameras. Like, why are y'all having these heated conversations and we're not seeing what's happening, like what exactly the conversation is about. So in this scene, Sal glosses over. I say glosses over because he says this and I'm like, hold up, this sounds really important. Why are we glossing over this? So Sal's talking about how there was this girl he was involved with before he got on the show, and the night before, the girl went to his sister's and was saying all this crazy shit. We don't know what crazy shit she was saying, first of all. And he was just like, oh, we got in a conversation, it was really heated. That's all the information they give us. And I'm like, hold on. There's a lot of context missing. First of all, is this just this girl, but she knows exactly where your sisters lived? She hung out with your sisters before. Like, she's met your family. And then what's all this crazy shit she's saying? Is it crazy shit or is she saying real shit like y'all are in a relationship? Because that's the first thing that comes to my mind. If you know where his sisters live and you're saying crazy shit, because men love to call women crazy when we talk in facts, I believe that she's in a whole ass relationship with you and you went on this TV for fame and she got in her feelings and confided in your sisters and Mallory found out and now you're in trouble.
Yep. It just wasn't right. It wasn't sitting right at all. Because like you said, she knows where your sisters live. To go to their house to create cascas, she knows where they live. She's been to that house before. And it's clear they live in some kind of condo apartment. That means that they let her inside. They let her inside.
They knew who she was to let her inside. She knew exactly which apartment they were in. It wasn't like she just was like, oh, I've seen Sal's car pull up here once before. Let me show. No, that's not what this was. She had to be let into the building.
She had to be let inside. Very wild. And so we don't see any of the argument. We don't really get context on that whole situation. We're just hopping into this semi-calm conversation between Mallory and Sal, where it's, okay, are you done working? Let's talk about this thing. And I don't understand. And Mallory doesn't understand either. She's like, so why did she show up at your sister's? What's happening here? And then the question that she asked is, do you introduce every girl you date to your sisters? And I was like, that's a very valid question, Mallory. Please, Salvador, what's your answer? I'm dying to see it.
Exactly. Because the way he was talking about this girl was like, oh, it was just this girl like he dated. It was very casual. Like, it wasn't anything serious. And she's okay, but so you introduce every girl you're just fucking to your sisters? I was like, ask him again, Mal, because shit is not adding up.
The math is not mathing. 1 + 1 = 20 right now, and I am missing some numbers, okay? And I'm missing some numbers. And we obviously can tell that they've been arguing, that they have been having heated discussions about this. But we're missing the bulk of everything. Because even this scene is heavily edited and we're not really getting much out of this conversation, just like basic facts. But I'm telling you, this shit is fishy. Very fishy.
Hella fishy.
On the editing standpoint and between them.
Yes, hella fishy. Like, the only thing that really comes out of this conversation, and I really don't know how we get there, but Mallory admits that she, like, loves Sal. And I'm like, girl, how did we get here? Like, he was just talking about another girl. I don't know. For me, this changed things for me because I really liked Sal up until this point. And then I heard this and I was like, no, this is fishy as hell. This man got a whole nother woman and came on the show. No, Sal is no longer in my good books. Nope, nope, nope. No, sir.
Listen, I was feeling Sal up until they got back to Chicago. That's where I lost it for Sal. Because when he brought up Mexico at the point that he did, I was like, where does that come from? Why y'all bring up old things? How we reach here? And then with Jarrett at the beach party, I'm like, how we reach here? Again, about Mexico, old things, what is happening? And so I was judging that. And then this, I was like, no, absolutely not. No.
But like the balls to keep talking about Jarrett and he got a whole nother woman.
Other woman who can show up at your sister's house being upset that you have a fiance. Okay.
I know. What is this show? I just have to laugh.
Couldn't tell you. But
this man got a girlfriend and a fiance and want to know about what she doing. Like,
listen, it's too much. And we all know the guy who's had this happen to them. You have the guy who has a girlfriend and then he's cheating on the girlfriend with somebody else. And it's a whole thing.
It's
all. We're not calling Sal a cheater, by the way, because we don't know. We're just saying that this situation is thuthbitheth. Okay,
thuthbitheth. So then, okay, so that's that with Mallory and Sal. I don't think they had another scene.
Nope, the entire they don't.
Episode. Oh, wait, they did. Sal feels a little guilty, so he decides to make her some stir fry with shrimp or whatever. And I was like, Sal, there was nothing else really notable. It was just that he decided to cook her dinner. And which in any other circumstance would be nice, but I'm like, nah, you got a whole nother girlfriend. You need to do more than cook me dinner, sir.
Yes. Oh, my note for that is the more Mal gets close to Sal, the more he moves away. Because I could tell the distance between them in that conversation. Like he only knows how to make one thing as well. That's the only thing he knows how to make aside from night breakfast. So he made the one dish he knows how to make. And it obviously also went to Trader Joe's. There are some wine brands I noticed there based on the bottle. Yes, I am that person. If I've seen that bottle of wine before, I'd be like, oh, I drank that. That's not like a very good wine, baby. You shouldn't have used that one. But it's fine. But yeah, that is my note from that scene. The more Mal gets closer to Sal, the more he moves away. And yeah, that's what I got there.
And that's pretty much what it is. So it's like...
That's for them.
Yeah, that's it for them. And I feel sorry because in the beginning it was like Mal wasn't really sure if she was like that into him and he seemed really into her, and now it seems like the tables are turning just a little bit and it's damn, sir, she didn't even want to fuck you. Come on.
truth and facts.
I can't stand myself. Anyway, so then who are we moving on to? Should we move on
Jared
to...
and I... No, Deep Tea and Shake. Yeah. Deep Tea and Shake. Okay. I will start this one off just because I have lots of thoughts about this. Mm-hmm. So we see Deep Tea and Shake out at lunch, brunch, dinner, some meal, and still light outside. Okay. And this was in the summertime. So they're outside, they're having a meal. It's like a nice, the food looked good. Not gonna lie, but it got hungry when I did watch it, but it looked nice. And so they're sitting there talking about the future. Deep Tea's having a nice conversation about the future and what's in store for them, et cetera. And then this is when Shake decides to tell Deep Tea that the physical is missing from their relationship. Remember, they're outside. They're in public. There's people all around them. There are people in tables all around them. The server is actually moving in the back of the frame as well. While he's saying this, that yes, there's just something missing from the physical element of their relationship.
And it's very awkward because he's told literally everyone except her at this point. She's the last to know.
And she doesn't know how bad it is either. She just knows that right now he's saying that there's something missing from this, but he really cares for her. They have such a great connection and all these things, but there's something missing on the physical side. And she's surprised because yes, she knows that they have not had sex, but they have had cuddles. They've been physically intimate in different ways that are not sex-based. So you could have thought that it was just, I want to be comfortable physically with you before we take or get married. Right. Then we take it to the next level. But right, him just being like, yeah, like I like you and all, you're like my best friend, but it's just not hitting. It's very hard to hear that. It's very difficult to hear that, I can imagine. And I wish we had taken more time to, first of all, I wish he hadn't done it in public, but he did it because he didn't want her to make a scene. We know that. But also I wish that we'd been able to hear her thoughts in the ITM more about how she felt hearing that in the moment. So I think that's what was really missing from this scene, because it's like an isolated thing. It's the only time they're on screen aside from the wedding dress, running off of shopping later on. And I'm like, I feel like this could have been explored. This could have been blown up a lot more conversationally, just because I want to know how Deep Tea really feels hearing this. Because the right, ITM they use for her, it's glossing over it a bit, but not really diving into, so how do you feel hearing that? Did you know he felt this way before? Kind of thing.
Right.
But I think they didn't want her to lie, because if what is happening is true, I'm sure that the women have told her, because Shane has told Natalie, and Natalie seems like the type who would tell her friend, listen, this man, he's saying this shit about you. So I feel like, I feel like
Shane is also not the type of person to be quiet. So I feel like he would be the type of person where just in casual conversation with Deep Tea, just be like, yeah, so Shake told me he's not attracted to you like that, girl. What are you going to do? He sounds like that type of person. So I feel like maybe somebody might have told her this before. But then it's, if somebody had told her this before, wouldn't she also be the type of person to be like, hey, I heard this. What's tea? Like, what's real? What's tea? So I don't know. I don't know if she was blindsided or not, but it's, I also didn't really like how they focus more so on Shake's feelings over Deep T's feeling. Because Deep T did say from that she had to question herself if she was attracted to him. And she found, yes, she was. So she knew from jump, okay, like, this is somebody she could be with. This is somebody she could be physical with. This is some, even though he's not, like, her usual type, which is also tall, white, skinny man. Like, she knew she could do this. So I really wish they explored that more. But they just let Shake talk. I'm just not so happy about the edit that they gave Shake.
Yes.
It's a very flattering edit, by the way, people. Like, it's not even, like, the worst that they could do. If the Bachelor producers had footage of Shake in their hands... Girl,
listen, that would be a whole different show.
We would be the villain of the year, but I'm kind of glad they didn't make him the villain of the year. You know, he's still a person of color, as shitty as he is.
Yeah, like, we can shit on him, but we don't want those others to do it.
Exactly, you know, we don't want the racist to shit on him. Yeah, but we can shit on him as a human being.
Yeah,
do that. But so they focus a lot on Shake talking about, oh, we have this really emotional connection. And maybe the emotional connection can override the physical one and da-da-da-da-da. Like, maybe we just gotta give it some time. And Deep D's, yeah, we don't have to be so crazy right away. And that's all we heard. And I was like, okay. So maybe, I don't know, maybe they didn't want to give away too much. I don't know. But they're still figuring it out.
Yeah, I guess. They're still working it out. As far as we know, they're still on track to get married. But don't worry. Yeah. We're going to our favorite couple next. And our favorite couple, because this season had so few people to root for.
Yes.
Jared and Ayana. That's who's Yay. Next up in this scene roulette. And mm-hmm. Jared is meeting Ayana's parents. And so, backstory on Ayana, if you do not remember, Ayana was taken in by a couple when she was 18 and they adopted her when she was 21, 22. So mm-hmm. they did an adoption for her as an adult because mm-hmm. she had been in, was it the foster system she was in before, but she was just, or bouncing from family home to family home,
yeah,
I think.
Like she got kicked out when she was like 17 or something.
I think younger than that.
Maybe it was younger? Oh, maybe it was younger.
Because yeah, she and her parents, her biological parents, haven't been together since she was, before she was 10. And then I think she lived with other family members. And,
yes, yeah. That's right. Then she got kicked out of family member's place when she was 17. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she's had a difficult sort of setup with family. And so I think it's very telling that her chosen family and her legal family, as they are now, are the ones who show up for her in this moment. And yes. Jarrett's... Mm-hmm. He's not nervous, but he's a little nervous. Like, you can tell he's a little like, I want them to like me because I know how important they are to Ayana. And how much Ayana loves and respects her parents. And obviously, her parents adopted her when she was 22. Like, they took her in as an adult. So, it's a whole different kind of love. And we know that.
Which I'm grateful that they showed this family structure, because it's one that we need to see more, that we don't usually see more, especially on shows like The Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor Nation shows. Like, you usually just see the nuclear family. But you don't see people talking about their adoptive parent or parents that really took them in. You don't see lots of stories like that. So I really appreciated that she brought these parents on, and they're cool as hell. Like, they seem really cool, and they seem to just like really love her and have her best interests at heart. And so they were asking Jared like a couple of questions. The one thing that stood out for me in this situation is that the mom asked Jared, what is it about Ayana? And he was like, oh, I really like her resilience. And then the mom was like, okay, but what else about her? Because she's a great person. Like, what about her besides the fact that she's strong? And I was like, thank you. Because Jared has been saying this the entire time. And I'm like, okay, but Ayana's such a light. She's so funny. She's so charming. She's so entertaining. She's been through a lot, but that's not her entire story. So what else? And I was so happy they called him out on that, because it was like, sir, is the only reason why you're marrying her is because she's resilient? Because that to me sounds like you're ready to put this woman through the ringer. And I hope that's not what you're planning to do. So
yeah, it's true. And I love that she checked him on that. You are absolutely right. And I love when she said the stuff about Jared liking to party. And her parents were just kind of like, so you think he could be able to do that when you married? Just curious. Because married man behavior is different from like single man behavior. And I love that her parents checked him on that as well, because Ayana is very open. She's like, I like to stay home. He likes to go out and party and hang out and stuff. And you can tell she's not trying to throw him under the bus. She's just talking about some of the difficulties that they're navigating at this point in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And mom, Her mom's name is Jennifer, by the way, which is my mom's name. Mom is already a little skeptical. She's just like, from the resilience point and everything, she's just kind of, so you just gonna be a man for the streets while you married to my daughter? Like, what you trying to do about that? What's that about? What's that? And also, it's so funny. I just realized that Ayana's dad name is Michael, and that's also my dad's name. So Ayana's parents are my parents. Ayana's parents are my parents.
So you're the same people, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the same people. I am their daughter, and Ayana's my sister. So just putting that out there.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Yeah. You're lucky. You talk to yourself. Right? Love is blind.
I'm going to post that in our story, and I am going to tell her, my parents have the same name as your parents, so obviously we're related.
Exactly. Exactly. That's all the proof we need. That's it. No, that's last name's nothing. That's it.
But yeah, so it's good. This conversation is good because her parents are obviously care for her, and they're grilling Jared in a very polite way because they're also people of God. And so they're like, we're modeling Christian principles. However, if you hurt my daughter, I will... You know, and that's a very much a clear undertone throughout the whole thing. But Jarrett pulls through. They give their approval. And that's also because they trust Ayana. They say that we trust Ayana and her judgment. Mm-hmm. And we know that she would not be wrapped up in any kind of boogie yaga bullshit. So we're going to trust her. We don't trust you, but we're trusting our daughter.
Which is the way it should be, right? Trust the way you raise your children. Trust that they make the right decisions. And if they don't, they're going to learn from it. So Ayana's parents are cool. Ayana's parents are cool people. They're cool people. And then, so we don't really see them again until the dress fitting. So that was... I think that was all the couples.
That's all the couples. Because we get to Nick and Daniel after the dress fitting. I don't know if you want to.
Oh, yes.
Do you want to do that? We'll say that for the end, I think. Or do you want to do it now?
Yeah, we can save it at the end. Because we'll end how the episode ends.
Yeah, yes. So we'll do it that way.
Next week, yes. So
dress fittings. Wedding dress shopping, tux fittings. And so everyone has someone with them, whether it's family or close friends. Ayana actually brings Jarrett's sister, the sister I didn't know he had. Yeah, she brought Jarrett's sister to the wedding dress fitting. Natalie brought her sister, her mom, and Shane's mom. I guess Shane's mom is probably going to be in town till after the wedding, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Deep Sea brought her sister and her friend. And Danielle has her mom and her sister. Mallory's family didn't make it. So she has her two best friends. And I was just like, yikes. And for the guys, Sal has his roommate and a friend who's a woman. I didn't get who that was. Shake brought two friends. Jarrett has three of his friends there. Shane has his brother and best friend. Nick has a friend. I don't know if Nick's friend. Like I said, I was just trying to match who I thought everyone went with. I don't know who really went with who, but yeah.
Yeah. But Nick's friend, though, can we talk about one of Nick's friends was fine as fuck. At least I think he was there. I forgot his name, but he had tattoos and the gauges.
Oh, no, he might have been there, but we didn't really see him until the next episode.
Until the next episode?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll gush over him next episode.
We all know who Nick's hot friend is. It's just putting that out there. Yes. We all know.
I was like, oh, Nick, that's your friend? Oh, okay. So yeah, the men are getting fitted. The women are getting fitted too. This was giving me Say Yes to the Dress moment, which is a show that I absolutely love. I love Say Yes to the Dress. Even though I know I'm probably not spending a shit ton of money on an expensive ass wedding dress, I love wedding dress fitting. So this was cool. We got to watch all the women go through and get their dresses and find their different dresses. All of them are very different. So they found like very different dresses that like hinted to their personality. I can't really remember a lot, but I do remember Danielle's dress was gorgeous.
Yes, it was gorgeous. She looked really good. I was very happy with Danielle's dress. Yes. Ayana's dress, I also loved it. Mm-hmm. Natalie's dress was okay. Mallory's dress, I didn't like. I actually liked Mallory's dress the least.
I didn't really like Mallory's dress either. It was very plain.
Yeah, yes. And one thing I know with Ayana is that she was shopping with Jarrett's sister, and Jarrett's sister did an ITM where she said that she knows Jarrett's ways. Jarrett's sister knows his ways. And at the same time, Jarrett's talking to his friends about finances being the biggest thing to consider with marrying Ayana because she's going through her doulaship, she's doing all this stuff. So it was a split conversation between the girls and the guys and what was going on there at different times. So that was like a main thing to take away. The other main thing to take away is that when Ayana chose her dress, you could just tell she lit all the way up. And She asked Jared's sister, you think he'll like it? And the sister was like, yes, of course he'll like it. The sister wanted to be like, shit, I like it. I might marry you today. I don't know. She looked gorgeous. She looked great. Of course Jared's going to like it. And so she had anxiety about it. But I think that I liked Ayana's dress the most. Danielle's dress was second for me. If we're doing traditional wedding dresses, but the best wedding outfit is Deepti, because Deepti, while she was at the dress appointment, did not get her dress there because she decided to go traditional sari, yes. wedding sari garb. Mm-hmm. And so they actually cut in footage of Deepti finding her wedding sari, which I thought was really nice.
I thought that was really nice too. Deepti was also gorgeous. Like, it fit her so well. It was gorgeous. Deepti is a gorgeous woman. And then cut to Shake being, I don't know if I'm physically attracted to her. It was just like, oh my God, are you a broken record? And I was like, look at this woman. Look at her. How are you not physically attracted to her? Come on. It was so annoying. That's what the Shake's one line. I don't know if I'm physically attracted to her. Maybe our relationship can grow. Maybe the whatever. I was like, whatever. I don't give a fuck, Shake. Like, she deserves so much better than you.
No one cares about this man. And we all know it. And I think that it's obvious because it's also the first time that all the guys are hanging out with like their best friends and other family members and stuff. And they're hearing Shake say these things as well. So it'll be pretty obvious that things are ugh, and that Shake is not quite the best person in this moment with them as well.
We have this going on. And so they choose their dresses. The men choose their tuxes. And then we have Nick and Danielle. They go to try wedding cake tasting. And you shouldn't be arguing at a cake tasting. You should be very happy and hopeful about your future at a wedding cake tasting, right?
Absolutely not. Not if your name is Danielle.
No, not if your name is Danielle. Not if you're Nick and Danielle. It's a very tense moment. They get into this conversation where they had an argument recently and they're rehashing it at the cake tasting, which is like the worst place to rehash an argument. But from what I gained, okay, Jen, tell me if I'm wrong. But from what I got from this argument, Danielle was like hanging with her friends a lot over the weekend. And so Nick was like, is this going to be every weekend? Because he's thinking like, we're newly engaged. We barely know each other. Like, when is our time to spend together? And also it's like, when is he going to be joined in with the friends? Because that's what I'm thinking. If you're in a relationship with somebody, you're newly engaged, your friends are a huge part of your life. Why not just bring your fiance along? But she doesn't do that. And then he brings it up to say, hey, da 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 da, is this gonna be a thing? She has a problem with that. So then it's a whole argument. It's a whole argument that shouldn't have been an argument, basically.
Yes. Yes. There are several key takeaways from this moment. Number one, their wedding cake is going to be disgusting because they choose funfetti with white chocolate berry mousse. And I hate it. I hate it. So that was the first note I wrote down about this cake tasting. The second note is that I don't even think it was last weekend. I think it was like early on in the process, like probably like when they just got back to Chicago. It was someone's birthday. And so they had previously planned all the girls to hang out for this person's birthday. It was maybe like one night in a hotel or at someone's house, like very thing. And so Nick asking that question, is this going to be like a regular thing? Danielle took it the wrong way. Because like you said, I agree. He was just asking from a point of view like, okay, I understand this is pre-planned now. You can't avoid this, but this is a time where we should be planning the wedding and spending together to make sure we still want to get married at the end of this. So I want to know, as we go through this process, if we decide to get married, are you going to be doing things like this every weekend? And so with both of our busy lives, we will not get to spend time together. And she felt attacked for some reason. I don't know why she felt attacked. It was attacked. Very weird for her to feel attacked. But my note says she picks another argument. Daniel really loves self-sabotage and to play the victim. Because also Nick is now forced to apologize to her again for something that he did not do. And he says to her, you're putting words in my mouth. I did not say that. She's like, yes, you did. Yes, you did. You're lying to me and trying to pretend like you didn't say the thing, but you did. So she's gaslighting him because she thinks he's gaslighting her.
It's like the projection with her is through the roof. You can't raise the slightest concern with her because then it's like, oh, you have a problem with me and you have a problem with this and you have a problem with this. And it's like, no, like there's a difference between a concern and a real issue. And it was like, you can't even talk to her about any kind of concern. Because then she's immediately like, oh, you're saying I don't care about you. You're saying I don't spend time with you. And it's like, no, girl, that's not what you... Look, this was very triggering for me. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, oh my God, y'all are about to get married. Like, why are you arguing? Yes. Why is this an argument?
This is the week of the wedding. This is the week of the wedding.
I'm so tired of them at this point. And at this point, I'm looking at them like, y'all better not get fucking married. Because could you imagine doing this for the rest of your life? No, y'all better not.
Not I, baby. Not I. It's absolutely not me. And Nick said this previously. He's like, do you think the world revolves around you or something? And I was like, yes, she does.
She absolutely does.
And this is how we end the episode. On an argument. And I hate it. I hate everything about it.
Every time I see Nick and Danielle, I just brace myself for an argument now. I'm just like, there's an argument, isn't there? Even when they're being like touchy-feely, oh, I love you, da da da. There's an argument. There's an argument somewhere to be seen. So every time I see them on screen, I'm like, I can't even say they're my favorite toxic couple because they're too toxic.
Yeah.
There are limits. There are limits, okay?
And our limit is this episode. Kidding, kidding. We watched the last three. Don't worry about it. So that's the end of this episode. What is your... Let's see. There weren't very many sweet moments in this episode, but there were a couple. Lex, what is your sweet moment from episode 8 of Love is Blind Season 2?
Oh, God. What is my sweet moment? Oh, Lord. Okay, I'm going to say my sweet moment... Oh, Lord. Oh, okay. I'm going to say the woman finding their dresses. Because I love wedding dresses. I love wedding dress shopping.
Yes.
I wish all my friends will take me to go wedding dress shopping. And that's just the sweetest moment. If y'all are happy, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. What's your sweet moment, Jen?
Yes. I actually agree. Say Yes to Dress is my favorite show anyway, so that is my sweet moment. So I agree with you there. My second sweet moment is Ayana's parents meeting Jared and how his mother rigged him over the coals.
Yes, it's sweet me moment. Because I was thinking that, and I was like, no, but that just sweet me.
Yes, yes. So that's it's sweet me moment for both of us as well. So what's your sour moment?
Oh, what is my sour moment? I'm going to say Nick and Danielle, like their argument over cake.
Yeah.
Who wants to argue over cake? There's cake.
When you choose those flavors for your cake, that's why there's
I guess so. When you choose funfetti, there's about to be an argument.
Yes. Let's see. My sour moment is going to be Sal. This episode is a Sal sour moment for
me.
Because there's some shady shit going on. So that whole argument conversation thing, that's my sour moment.
Yeah, this episode, more than any other, like really soured me for Sal. I was like, ooh, I don't know. This is not the Sal that I was rooting for. So I get it. I get it. So what? That was our Love is Blind episode 8 coverage. Next week, we're doing the wedding.
Doing Bachelor, Bachelorette Party and the wedding. It's 9 and 10. I'm ready.
Yes, and then we're going to see who got married. I mean, y'all probably know already, but you get to hear us talk about it. And that's going to be the best part because we have a lot of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of thoughts.
Many thoughts. Oh, Lord. Okay, so we've talked Love is Blind. Let's do Joe Millionaire. So Lex has just finished Joe Millionaire. We know that there were hometowns. Steven has a pet raccoon. They came back to the manor. And then the women had to decide if they were going to pursue one guy or both of them. And so Amber decided to go with Steven. What's her name? Calla decided to do both guys. Mm-hmm. Whitney decided to do both guys. Annie decided to do just Steven. And then Amanda and Carolyn went for Kurt.
Yes.
So we're all caught up there. And so what happens now is everyone goes on dates, right? They go on dates to figure out if it's really going to be a thing. I guess I will just say that Kurt got broken up with twice because both Whitney and Calla wanted Steven. And for me, that should have been a sign. It should have been a sign that only two women were going for Kurt and everybody else was going for Steven.
Which I was really surprised because I thought the majority of women would go for Kurt because he's handsome. He got a little business or whatever. He got a hair. But I was really surprised, especially Calla. I thought Calla would have gone for Kurt.
Yeah.
But she was like, I want to go for Steven. Okay, so what Steven got that the girls want? I want to know.
I wanted to know what it was too. But it was so interesting seeing that shift. And then Steven actually broke up with Amber And with Whitney, they're more like friend vibes, I think, between him and Amber. And then Whitney, I think he was just too invested in Kala and in Annie at that point to really see anything through with her. So we got random eliminations. And then now it's like they're each onto their final two. And so they have dates. And so the date in the day for Kurt was playing tennis with Carolyn. And at night, dinner with Amanda. And during the day for Steven with Annie, he was out like paddleboarding, spending time on the water, picnic on the lake kind of vibes. And then it was making dinner with Kala. And Steven's also not that great of a cook. So that was fucking hilarious watching him ruin that meal.
That date was funny. But that date was, like, to me, like, for Steven's date, I could tell who he was leaning towards during the dates, because it's like he was super comfortable with Annie and they pretty much agreed on everything, but then it also felt like Kala was super comfortable around him. They were just acting like they would, like, around their house if they were in their house. So just, she was just like chilling, helping him out. Kurt with Carolyn, I was like, why does he like this woman? They do not seem to get along. Like, they get along, but then it's always tense, and I was like, why is he like this? How did you make it this far? Versus with Amanda, it's just chill, like they're just vibing, laughing, talking, whatever. So I was like, oh, I kind of know who they're both gonna choose. But then I was like, let me see.
And I think the dates were also indicative of that, right? This very intimate thing, cooking dinner with someone. And I think that it was something that the Bachelor franchise should probably do more of. Like less naked yoga, yes, less tantric yoga, and do more like Matt and Kit making dinner together on his season. You know what I mean?
Yes. I always think about that date when Matt and Kit make cookies. It was like a very simple date, but it was so nice. Like, it was so intimate. They got to know each other really well. Like, I always think about that date. I'm like, damn, they need to do that more instead of the wild, ridiculous dates where somebody's daughter is being put at risk, about to lose their life hanging off the side of a building.
Yeah, agreed, agreed. I think that's something they should definitely lean into. And so I thought it was very interesting that both Kala and Amanda got these dates. But it's interesting because they're the ones who won. I was very surprised that he chose Kala over Annie, just because he and Annie had the longer connection. But I could tell that he and Kala had a more physical connection. And so that was okay.
Yeah, she was gorgeous. I was surprised too, because she was very much like wishy-washy, like maybe not. So I thought, just for out of pride's sake in general, he wouldn't have chose Kala, but he did. And I was like, oh. But that's the thing with Steven, like the entire time I felt like he was just looking for a cute girlfriend, like that he can fuck around with. Because even with my gripe with about him and Amber is that Amber was really trying to make like a connection. Like she was really trying to open up and tell him things about her. And meanwhile, he was like, damn, like first time we went on a date, she was pussy popping. What happened to that? And I was like, sir, she's trying to connect with you.
I mean, and when he sends her home, she says that she's, I was doing this because I thought you wanted more serious conversations. And he was like, yeah, but I also want fun. Right. Like I also want levity. And my thing is, you can have fun anytime, but you won't know if you're compatible if you're not having these serious conversations.
These deeper conversations. And he just did not seem interested. So I was like, look, he's just looking for a cute girlfriend that he can take home and get it on with. And that's it. And I'm like, you know what? He's 27. That's absolutely fine, sir. Go get it.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want. I think the biggest shocker was with Kurt choosing Amanda over Carolyn. And it's a big shocker because every single episode to this point, like even earlier in the episode, he's talking about how Carolyn has his heart and how much he loves her. And so it's very interesting, especially considering at the elimination of Carolyn, he was like, oh yeah, but my heart belongs to someone else. And I was like, since when? Yeah. Literally at home.
Exactly.
Since when? Because 2 hours ago, it belonged to Carolyn. So what happened? What happened? I missed something. Like, I don't get it.
I know. And I honestly feel like he heard Amanda had money and was like, okay. Because if y'all don't remember, Amanda's mom was like, oh, we have way more than $10 million. I feel like Kurt heard that and was like, hold on.
Listen, no, but the worst part, though, is that on the date, like the cooking date, when they were talking about the money situation, whatever, and Amanda was like, oh, yeah, my family has worked really hard for what we have. And I was like, bitch, where? Bitch, where? We live a very humble life. Bitch, where?
Exactly.
Where you, these pull yourself up by your bootstrap fucking ass bitches lying through their fucking teeth, because generational wealth matters. okay? It matters.
Right. Exactly. Like, you was born with a fucking silver spoon in your mouth. Sure, you worked hard. That's like Kim Kardashian saying, get out and work. It's like, yeah, woman, like, you was definitely working hard on video.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We saw you.
Like, no, so fucking frustrating. But yeah, so that for me was a huge surprise. But Carolyn handled that exactly the way I would have wanted to. She was like, can I go now? Okay. Because he was like, is there anything you want to say? And she was like, no, can I go now? And the producers were like, yeah. And she just walked off. Because it, obviously, and for me, that was really weird. And I'm going to talk about Reality Steve, who everyone knows that you hate him. But I'm going to talk about that because he's had everybody except for Kurt on his podcast. So he's had Steven and Calla. He's had Amanda. He's had Annie. And he's had Carolyn on his podcast in the past 2 weeks. So it's between the finale and now. And I was very curious. I was very interested in what was going on. Steven and Calla are still together. Amanda and Kurt didn't even last 6 weeks. They were broken up, like, very early on. Mm-mm. And Amanda talked shit about Carolyn in her interview with Reality Steve, where she was, oh, Carolyn wasn't really a girl's girl. And I was like, that's shady and rude. Why would you say something like that? Why does someone not being a, what does that mean, not being a girl's girl? What is that about? And I thought that was a very impolite dig at someone. And obviously, editing makes Carolyn look a little crazy. But Carolyn's not as crazy as Ashley I. Yeah. In terms of that, she's feeling these feelings out of nowhere, like with the whole Jared situation, like in the very beginning with Ashley, I, and Jared. It's not like that. It's very much like there had to have been a reason for Carolyn to be behaving the way she was. Kurt was clearly leading her on in the throughout this entire process. And so Annie making those digs, and sorry, not Andy, Amanda. And I didn't like Amanda from the very beginning anyway. Remember when Amanda kissed Kurt and she and Kurt agreed not to tell anybody, and then she went to tell Carolyn, and then she took Carolyn to confront Kurt about it. I was like, this is shady as fuck. And then after that, she started making fun of Carolyn to everyone, and they were all talking shit about her. And I hated that. Mm-hmm. Just putting that out there. But I was like, this is very shady. There's something very weird happening here. So listening to the podcast episodes, Amanda and, like I said, Stephen and Calla were last week. Amanda says she and Kurt are not together. They're not anything right now. So not even like they're not even friends. They're not anything. And I thought that was very telling. And Amanda's mother is also acting up on social media. Are they trying to get famous or something? I don't know. Yes. That was weird.
Amanda's mom was spilling all the tea on Twitter. I was like, we need a reunion stat. Like, just let's get all the tea out on the table. I want to hear it all.
Yes. And then the rumors that Whitney and Kurt were hooking up. Kurt cleared that up, by the way, on his IG stories. He was like, no, Whitney and I are just friends. We've been hanging out. Hashtag trauma bonding, like something super funny. And he was like, I don't regret not choosing Carolyn or whatever. Like on his IG stories. And then in the podcast episode that dropped yesterday, today, because today's Wednesday, this episode's dropping tomorrow. Whoops. Podcast episode that dropped with Annie. Annie, of course, said she was surprised by the Steven thing, but she wasn't that surprised because Steven and Calla had an obvious physical connection throughout the process that we just didn't get to see. Mm-hmm. And then Carolyn's interview, they asked Carolyn, oh, did Kurt slide into your DM? She was like, is my name Carolyn? Of course he did. Like, I knew the second he and Amanda were broken up, like, he slid into my DMs. Like, he started, like, liking my photos and stuff. Like, I knew it immediately. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry for embarrassing you, da 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 da. She was like, no, you didn't embarrass me because you didn't choose me on national television. I'm fine. So Carolyn was spilling the tea in this interview. So if you guys haven't listened to it and you listen to Reality Steve's podcast, okay, if you listen to him for nothing else, just listen to him for those episodes, the ones with Steve, Calla, and Amanda, and one with Annie and Carolyn. I think they're very solid episodes in terms of, like, hearing the what was going on in the house. Mm-hmm. And Carolyn says Amanda was being fake because off camera, Amanda was like, oh, I just want to move to New York. I don't even like Steven or Kurt. And on camera, she's talking about being in love with Kurt.
Wow.
And that all the women, and Amanda was talking shit about her in the house to all the women, and that Carolyn didn't have any friends in the house aside from Andrea, whatever her name was, and one of the other girls. Mm-hmm. Because none of the other girls would talk to her, and that Amanda wasn't close with anyone who was interested in Kurt. She only talked to people who were interested in Steven.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that after the season, a lot of the girls actually apologized to Carolyn, including Suzanne, who was one of the top ones talking shit about her as well. So a lot of the girls have apologized to her since. Oh, wow. Amber as well, actually.
Oh, really?
That should let you know something. The fact that people are apologizing for how they treated you in the house after the fact, that they know something was off.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know. Didn't know it was like a whole mean girl situation. But it makes sense. The way they painted Carolyn now makes sense. It makes sense why they would paint her that way, especially if no other women were like fucking with her like that. But Kurt sliding into her DMs also makes sense. Because even on the show, like when Kurt would talk about why he likes Carolyn, he would say things about her physical. Like she has a great body. She takes care of herself. She works out. Like all of the physical things. And I remember watching this show like, Kurt, you like this woman? Because like, I know you want to fuck her, but do you like her? Like, I don't think he really liked her. I don't think he really knew who she was. I think he just really wanted to fuck her. Yeah.
There's more to it.
Oh, God. So... Okay, yes, tell me.
On Reddit, apparently Kurt's ex-girlfriend was on here talking about his jealousy issues and all this stuff, and that the reason he probably wouldn't choose Carolyn is because he's jealous and insecure of her ex-husband.
Oh, that makes so much sense. And that's what the problem is.
So it's not that he doesn't like Carolyn, he doesn't want to be with Carolyn, because Carolyn also said in her interview that he talked about being excited to be a dad, mm-hmm. and like wanting to meet her son and all that stuff. But the ex-husband was the problem. And she said that they had conversations multiple times, yes. about the ex-husband. And Carolyn actually told him, my mom is a lawyer. Like, we have a very flexible custody arrangement. Let's do this long distance for a minute, and then we can talk about moving closer together. The custody arrangement can be changed. My ex is open to that as well. Mm-hmm. So she was like, I was being open with him about that, but all the time he's bringing up the ex. Mm-hmm. All the time he's bringing up the ex. And I'm like, if she's had that conversation with him once... about the fact that, yes, this is going to be this way, but we should live separately for now. I live an hour away from you by flight. Let's try to figure out if we're meant to be outside of this first, mm-hmm. before we start talking about custody arrangements and me moving or you moving in the future. Mm-hmm. And if you have that conversation, he keeps bringing up the same ex-husband shit over and over again. Why would you? Of course, your reaction would be what hers was on the show.
Right.
Of course it would be.
Yeah.
Because we've already talked about this.
Exactly. That's the thing. It already annoyed me. Like, we probably didn't even see a drop of that on the show, but every single time he brought it up, I was like, what is there to figure out? Like, it's her ex for a reason, sir. But this makes so much more sense. It makes so much more sense that it was like jealousy issues, because nobody else is griping like that. Even if they are, they're not gonna, yep. be outwardly like, oh my God, like, what about your ex? Like, no, an ex is an ex for a reason. Be quiet. Oh, that makes a lot more
sense. And her ex is apparently verbally abusive to her, which is one of the reasons they're not together, right. anymore. So it's like, why are you worried about this man? Like, why are you worried about this man I don't want anything to do with anymore, except for him being a good dad to my son?
Exactly. So that makes so much more sense. It makes so much more sense why, like, he would keep bringing it up. She dodged a bullet. See?
There was something else we found out. He told her not to talk to Steven. He told her not to get into anything with Steven.
Really?
And that's also why she told him he can explore other relationships, with the understanding that it would be not in front of her in the same way. Right. And so that night with Amanda on his lap at the campfire, mm-hmm. he kept on looking over at her to see her reaction. Wasn't innocent. And that's why she walked off. Because remember, Carolyn didn't confront him. She walked off. He followed her. And so that's something that keeps missing in the editing too, that he keeps following her,
yeah.
to talk to her about things. She's not pulling him away to talk about this stuff. She's eating shit in public, mm-hmm. and like going off by herself, and he's following her to hash it out, quote unquote, and apologizing to her for hurting her. And then they're airing the parts that make her look crazy, like yelling at him, acting like it came out of nowhere.
Oh, Lord. Also, what you're telling me is this man was toxic as fuck.
Yes.
And
have you seen his recent photos?
No, I don't follow
with the man. Handlebar mustache? Oh, God. You don't want to see it. It's disgusting.
That tells me all I need to know.
It's gross.
That tells me all I need to know, girl. I don't need to know nothing else. Oh, my God. So that was Joe Millionaire. I hope they have another season. And you know what? Okay, now that I hear all of this, it makes sense why the girls would gravitate to Steven. Because I haven't heard anything bad about him since the show, mm-hmm. ended. So he's probably treating Calla like a queen. Actually, I heard he got her a boob job. She ain't been back to work, yep. since. They moved in together. So she now lives in Missouri. Mm-hmm. They're in it. And they're still together.
Yes. And
they're living together.
She handles all of his real estate dealings, apparently, as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. So they're, mm-hmm. really in it. So it seems like we may have encountered possibly a non-toxic white man on TV. I don't know. It's too early to tell. Yeah. to tell. But he's treating her well. So that's all we need to know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the next thing that's on the docket is the courtship.
Courtship, which I'm so mad because I just started watching The Courtship this week. I caught up and then NBC announced they're moving it.
Yes. So just so people know, The Courtship was originally supposed to be called Pride and Prejudice, An Experiment in Romance. They changed the name to The Courtship. Mm-hmm. I thought the show was going to be a digital series. I didn't know that it was going to be on TV, so they started saying it was going to be on NBC. And when I saw the time slot, 8 p.m. on a Sunday night, I was like, oh no, the show's about to get canceled.
Yeah.
That's stupid. This is not like a 90 Day Fiancé on Lifetime or like TLC or whatever. It's not the same thing. You can't put a reality dating show on NBC at 8 p.m. on a Sunday. No one's watching it, right? Mm-mm. So cool. We say fine. And two episodes have aired, and they announced today, Wednesday, March 16, 2022, that they are moving it to USA and that it's effective immediately. So episode one of The Courtship is re-airing on USA tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern time. And then next week they're going to air episodes two and three, I think back to back on Wednesday night as well. They're putting it right after Temptation Island to keep that momentum going forward because the ratings are horrible. Like the numbers on ratings, it is so bad. It is so bad.
Yeah, so bad ratings wise. It's pretty bad, but they didn't even give it a chance. I would say even if the ratings are bad, like they should have given it at least 3-4 episodes because I feel like it was picking up. Even if it was just like a little bit, it was picking up. And then they barely marketed the show. Like we just saw some ads.
Yeah, it wasn't on TV either. The ads weren't on TV either. It was just social media.
So it's such a shame. But can we just talk about how delightful it is? Like I was having a good ass time watching this show. I kid you not. I was having the best time. Like the show is so cute. If you've ever read a historical romance, if you've ever liked a historical romance, this show is for you. You're gonna like the show. Like, I loved it. It was so, like, whimsical and non-toxic so far. Let's just say so far. But the premise is that they're dating in what they call the Regency era. So the whole premise is that the men court this woman, and part of courting this woman is getting through her family, like meeting the family, doing like all these cute activities, like going to the balls, going on picnics, going on little, what's it called? Like rowing dates. Like it's so cute. They're all dressed up too. Like everybody is dressed up in the Regency era regalia.
Yes. It's like, it's their cravats everywhere. Okay.
Yes. It's so cool. It's so cool. So we got introduced to the lead, who's Nicole Remy. If you don't know what she looks like, go look her up on Instagram. She's gorgeous. She's gorgeous black woman. Wonderful black woman. Her family is there, so her mom and her dad are there, and it's just so wonderful seeing this beautiful black family be so supportive of this kind of zany show, I'm not gonna lie. And her sister's there too, and her best friend, who's a white girl, so she's the only white girl in the entire show, which is great.
We love that shit.
So we got introduced to her, and then all the men had to write her letters before they met her. A bunch of men write letters, and while they're reading the letters, we see the introduction to the men, and it's very, it's very like soap opera-like, I would have to say. From the beginning of The Bold and the Beautiful, and then The Young and the Restless, when they turn towards the camera and give these dramatic stares. Like, that's how the men are.
The opening montage.
That's how the men are introduced, and I loved every part of it.
No, I really like this show. Also, it does the thing that I think is going really well for a lot of dating shows right now. They're choosing a much smaller group of men. There are only 16 men. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important. I think that shows like The Bachelor are using too many people. Right. And that's why you're not getting quality from these shows. Well, that's one of the reasons anyway. But yes, and so 16 men, and it's very good. The one thing I don't... Okay, there are two things I don't like about this. Three, I'm lying. So, number one, some of the outfits are fucking hideous that they make her wear.
Yeah.
She looks great in anything, but that yellow, purple dress thing, disgusting. Yeah, green. Gross.
It's
gross,
very reminiscent of Penelope and Bridgerton, to be honest.
Yes.
And the outfits they force her
to. Just as ill-fitting because she's not wearing petticoats.
Right.
She's not wearing the underclothes necessary to carry these dresses.
Yeah.
So just saying, we noticed. That's number one. Number two, they do have like solo dates. So in episode one, she was able to choose, or I think her court, her family and her best friend chose someone for her to go off on like a romantic picnic with. They got to kiss outside, fireworks under the stars, very gorgeous. So I loved that. In episode two, her father and her mother, I think her father especially, decided who she would get a date with, and that she and the date toured the castle in which she's staying in. And there's a scene in the room, like kissing, like on the bench in front of her bed. And she's, I make the rules on the show, which is totally fine. Mm-hmm. But I think that it would make more sense if they had their early parts of the date chaperone.
Yes,
so I think having a mom, her dad, her sister, or her best friend, just one person there in the room with her, mm-hmm. probably, especially one of the women, in the room with her, like when the guys come and they're meeting, just like oversee and like keep it very Regency-esque. Yes. Cause you don't have unchaperoned conversations like that. Mm-hmm. So I think if they had the chaperone conversation, like in the beginning with one of the women in her court, mm-hmm. that I would understand them going off alone to make out a lot more in the end. So yeah. I think that's another thing missing. Yeah. Yes.
And that's one of the things that I enjoyed about historical romance is like when they would sneak away from their chaperone and be like, oh my God, we're not supposed to be here together. And then the guy's just like, fuck it. He doesn't really say fuck it. They do what they're supposed to do. And you're like, oh my God, are they gonna get caught? Or if they're like, if we get caught, we have to get married. And obviously that wouldn't happen on this show.
No. Yes. Yeah, I feel like there's more that. And then the third thing I don't like is that they have to be doing this elaborate choreography and having conversations.
I
and
hate these bitches it are so
out
much.
Of breath. They are out of breath. They're like, yeah.
Because
they're trying to remember the steps and also yes. talk. And it's y'all are out of breath. It is bad. It is so bad.
It is I think so that bad.
That's one thing that I don't like. I enjoy the dancing part of it because you have mm-hmm. to know the choreography to really mm-hmm. be able to move in this space. But it's the talking and the out of breath, the gaspiness. I edit those things out of our podcast, okay? I don't want to hear it on TV. So that's the other thing that I dislike. But overall, the show is great. I like the cuts that have been made so far, like Dr. Schnauzer or whatever he is from episode one. Mm-hmm. And I really wish Mr. Shanklin, the one that can't stop fucking singing, went home this week, God. But he did not.
Me too. Like, me too. But he's still there. But yeah, still there. Just a note of that's the one thing I didn't like too is the dances. Like I really, everything else I really like. And then they were like, okay, it's the farewell dance. And I'm like, okay, the farewell dance. Like they're gonna dance and then she's gonna say bye to whoever. But no, the men have to remember this choreography and plead their case on why they shouldn't go. And I'm like, this is terrible. Who came up with this? You know, I really like the idea of the dance card. Like the dance card is cute because that's something that actually did happen. Like men had to fill out women's dance cards in order to dance with them. And I get what they were trying to do because like in Pride and Prejudice, like that's when Elizabeth had a lot of her conversation with Mr. Darcy. It was like while they were dancing. Well, maybe not a lot, but that's when you could see like their connection when they were dancing. Like she was dancing with Mr. Darcy and sometimes they spoke. So I get it. But no, the farewell dance was a bad idea. It was a horrible idea. I hope they cut it at some point. I hope it's axed and they just do the dance. For me, it would have been a lot more dramatic if they did the dance silent and you could see like their physical connection. And then afterwards, she curtsies, he bows and then says, I would like to be still remain here and like remain on your dance card for whatever reason. And she can be like, no, you're off my dance card. Or, okay, yeah. Cool, I'll keep you on my dance card. You know?
Exactly. I think, yeah, there's a way to make it work. And right now it's not working for me, but no. I hope it does get... The show has such great potential. And I think if they had just released the show straight to Peacock, it would be doing a lot better. Or would have released it directly to USA instead mm-hmm. of doing this NBC switcheroo. Because it's still going to be on Peacock the next day. That's still going to be a thing. That's mm-hmm. all still a part of the process. But I just really, really wish they had to handle it a lot better than they did.
Yeah, if it was a bingeable series, trust, people would be talking about it. People would be talking about it.
Yes.
They would. Because by the end of the first episode, I was like, hell fucking yes. I am watching the shit out of this. Especially with the one-on-one date. Like when she had went on that one-on-one date and it was like the castle in the background and the fireworks, I was like, oh my God. This is everything my teenage self dreamed.
This is a teenage dream that Katy Perry was talking about, okay?
Yes. Yes, this it definitely was. So I'm going to need all of y'all to apply to go on this show next time and invite us to be in your court.
Yes. Okay? I would love to be in your court. I will do my best to not kick any person in the face because the promo for episode 3 involves one of the suitors trying to get a little flirty with the best friend. And I'm like, Oh,
which you knew was going to happen because she introduced the best friend. And I was like, oh, shit, this girl's hot. Somebody's going to try something.
Yes, somebody's going to try it. So very excited to see where the show goes. I really hope they're able to keep it for another season as a digital series, as a straight to digital. Let's do it that way. Mm-hmm. You're going to put it on TV, you have to put it like with. Because NBC doesn't have a reality dating show at all right now, aside from this. So I think that they have to sandwich it with a show that people are going to watch. Mm-hmm. because otherwise no one's gonna want
to
watch it.
It would definitely have to be in a better time slot, because Sunday at 8 p.m. is just not gonna do it. It would definitely have to be on a better day in a better time slot. I can see it doing well on TV, you know, if it had gained traction and people are like talking about it. But they need to give it a chance. They need to give it a chance. But I'm watching the fuck out of it. I don't care. I'm going to watch it.
There's also no official Instagram account for the show.
Really? What are they doing?
Exactly. That's my other thing. If they had done like official accounts, they have an official Twitter account. But, and I guess that's what they're tracking, the tweets. But I think Instagram, people do a lot of content on Instagram around the show. And so they're relying on Nicole doing all this promo. From her personal account, not even like from her personal account. I think that was a mistake. I think if they had just secured an Instagram handle, got it verified, whatever, done that, that this could be bigger because people would be tagging the account more. People would be having more social media interactions with it. And like platforms like ours, like people would be like, oh, the courtship, what's that? And I would be tagging the account. I'd be sharing posts from the official account.
Exactly.
Not having to go to Nicole's page or to one of the guys' pages to find stills to share. Stuff.
Exactly, because that's how I was. I wanted to find a still of her in her purple dress because she looks stunning. Look, if y'all don't want to watch the show for anything else, watch it for Nicole because she's stunning. And it's one of the first shows where I've seen them light black people really well. Like, really well. Like, sometimes when you light black people, these shows don't understand how our skin works. So you either overlight or underlight us. But Nicole and her family are lit so well. The cinematography is done so well. It's very soft, very Regency era. So if you don't want to watch it for nothing else, watch it for that. Watch how to like black people. Anyway,
yes.
I was trying to find a still because she was gorgeous and I couldn't find. I was like, what the hell? Like, what is going on? I didn't even know they didn't have an Instagram account. And that makes a lot more sense why the ratings are what they are, because way more people use Instagram than they use Twitter. I don't know. I feel like they set this show up for failure.
Yes, I agree.
Because what is
that? I agree. But doing the best I can, like even just searching for proper promo photos, there's no good photo that I can use to do as an IG story cover. If you notice it, like when you see my thing, I actually have to just crop some text from a poster, the courtship official, and I use that as our IG cover photo for my recaps of them. It's horrible. I need that to be fixed. Just saying. But the courtship is a good watch. You should watch it. Joe Millionaire was super fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. Very light, very low key.
That was fun.
But I will say that I think Mike Fleiss is stalking our tweets and listening to our podcast. You want to know why I think so, Lex?
Why?
Because the one thing I'll mention about The Bachelor and The Bachelor finale, aside from the fact that we told y'all that Blatton wasn't shit from the very beginning, they decided to have co-bachelorettes next season. And so it's two women as a bachelor at the same time, not like Caitlin and Britt, where Britt got voted off by the guys on night one, which is very embarrassing and awkward, by the way. It's going to be co-bachelorettes throughout the entire process. And they're still working some stuff out, but The Bachelorette's not even premiering till July 11th. That gives them more time to film and to edit and get some stuff going, recruit more guys if they have to. But I think we're going to see a situation where I have no idea how they're going to manage this format. Are they going to do it like Joe Millionaire, where the guys just come in and then they naturally like segment themselves off? They have done this before. I think it was a Bachelorette New Zealand or something like that. There was a season with two sisters. There were sisters and they were dating people at the same time. They were co-bachelorettes in the house. But we also know that the US doesn't like to do it properly the way that the Australian, New Zealand, and other European components do the Bachelor and Bachelorette franchise. It's way better over there, less toxic. So I feel as if they need to look at their other counterparts in New Zealand and in Australia to see the best way to do this season. And if not, they got this idea from us, I swear, because they saw us tweeting about Joe Millionaire. Mike Fleiss has been following us or whatever he's doing, reading our tweets after he had to pay us. And he was like, they seem to relate this Joe Millionaire shit. They're not watching The Bachelor this season.
Let's see what they like about this.
You know what? We could do that. Millsy, can we do this?
Let's get two Bachelorettes. We're going to be like Joe Millionaire.
And I'm not happy about it. I don't know if they have the range to be able to pull something like this off.
Okay, how is that going to work? I guess we'll figure out how it's going to work. If it's one thing I hope that they take from Joe Millionaire, not that Joe Millionaire did this a lot, but I really like that the women sat during their eliminations. They weren't just standing for hours. If they're going to take anything from that, take that.
They're not going to take that.
And take that. I would really appreciate, I think these rose ceremonies would go a lot smoother if they just did like the courtship, actually, and they said, okay, these are the bottom six, come to the front, okay, of the bottom six, these two are staying. Like, instead of doing a long, drawn-out rose ceremony process where you're hearing 50 names, you can't remember half of who, which is what. So, I don't know. I hope they take that, but we'll see what happens.
That's not... I just really hope that they take this separate date situation. Like, you saw, like, when they had the different dates on Joe Millionaire, where the high life or the low life dates, I quote-unquote low life, I want it to be more like that, where it's one person. If it's 30 men, you only have 50 men each, if you're dividing it that way. And they're going to send home probably, like, four of them at least, night one, four or five night one. So I think if you do it that way, you've already whittled it down to 25 or like a certain amount of guys.
Exactly.
And I think that it makes the group dates more manageable. Mm-hmm. And it will make one-on-ones, or like you could be able to have smaller group dates, like a group of four, as opposed to like having to have 10 people all the time. I think that there are ways to do this and make this happen, but I'm concerned with the way their format is set up currently, how we're going to be able to get this show working in 2 hours. Are we going to be cursed to having two night a week bachelorettes to make this happen?
Ooh, we already dedicate enough time to this show. I'm not watching this two nights a week.
Yeah. And then, because of them premiering The Bachelorette so late this year, that means Bachelor in Paradise is not coming out to the end of September. So they probably still film over summer, but we're not getting this until September. Like, what the fuck? And we already know that having shows like The Bachelor on in the fall are trash for ratings. Like, we know this. We know it. That's why The Bachelor has typically been Bachelor in January, Bachelorette in May, June, Bachelor in Paradise in summer, and then nothing until the following January. Right. It works better that way.
So I wonder if they're not doing anything. If Bachelor in Paradise is premiering September, they're probably not going to do another show until January, Bachelor again, which would make sense because we were burnt out.
Yeah.
We were burnt out AF, and it was holiday season.
Yes.
And we had Thanksgiving and Christmas and all these other things, and school had started all during Michelle's season, which was the best season, to be honest. And Michelle is the best looking bachelorette. Look, girl, I saw a selfie the other day. I was like, Michelle, what?
Never decline. Our face card never fucking decline. Not ever. Gorgeous.
Nate is a lucky man. You hear me, Nate? You fine too, but you lucky. But so it'll be interesting to get back to our regular Bachelor Nation schedule. And this two lead thing is going to be very interesting. I know for sure they're going to encourage men to have connections with both, so that there will be the highest amount of drama possible.
Absolutely.
And competition between the women when there really shouldn't be none. But I feel like that's why they're doing it, because why have two women on a show and not have them compete with each other?
Yes, exactly. I will give it a chance to see how it's turning out. I think that I won't commit to us covering it because it's two white leads again. And I mean, the women are exceptional. I'll give you that. Rachel is a pilot, and Gabby, I don't remember, she's a nurse. I think she's an ICU nurse or something in Denver. She's also Dean's ex-girlfriend from college. And
Dean's ex. Okay.
We didn't watch the season, but I've read the transcripts and I've heard the commentary from the past couple of episodes, and Gabby seems able to handle herself very well. And she chewed into the block of whatever he is for treating them the way that he did. And so I think that it could be interesting, but I don't trust these producers.
I don't trust them as far as I can throw them, but the girls seem to really like Gabby, so I would watch for her. Also, these are two women who actually made it to the end. So funny how they actually pick women who made it to the end when it's two white women, but when it's a couple of black men, it's, oh, we have to go all the way to seventh place.
Eighth. He was eighth.
Eighth. So that's funny, as in it's not funny at all. But people seem to really like Gabby, so if the girls are liking Gabby, I will watch for her just to see what happens. And we will definitely keep our ears to the ground, figure out if we're gonna cover or not I have zero clue where I'm going to be, but you know, yeah. We'll cross that bridge when we get
and
there.
You know what, Lex? Neither the fuck do I. I have no idea what's happening
right now. Yes. We're just 230-somethings just vibesing through life right now. This podcast just happens to happen every week.
No, for real. Like, you have no idea. Like, for real, it just happens. And we're just like, okay, we should record. Yes. And now we're not as strict about the time that it drops. Like, I used to be like, oh my God, we have to drop it like on time. But now both of us have been mm-hmm. so busy. We have so much different stuff going on. It's listen, y'all will get it on Thursday, okay? It's gonna exactly. be Thursday.
Y'all get it when you
just
get
be cool. And so right. it really is great that we're able to do this, that you are able to listen to us, vibe with us. Oh, I can read the emails now, finally.
So the Love is Blind emails we have to read, were they emails about the whole season, including the weddings and reunion, or
there are a couple, there's some that have spoilers, but there's one that I think we could talk about up until a certain point. Let me make sure. I'm just saying things right now, but maybe I'm wrong. Nope, that one was not the one. There was another one. Oh, the courtship. So MJ has an email for Love is Blind commentary and the courtship. And so that's the one that she most recently dropped. And there's only one point about Love is Blind that's on there, which I can easily read. Every time that Shane is a voice of reason, it becomes part of my villain origin story. And I was like, yeah, that tracks. Yeah, and that applies for a lot. That applies for a lot of things. I can probably reread this again at the end of the season, but for sure, even up to this point, because Shane is one of those people telling Shake, just be cool, give Deep Tea a chance. Like,
yes, you know. And every time I'm like, why is Shane making sense? Of all the people, why is he making sense?
Yes, and so that is MJ's villain origin story. And you know what? Same, sis, same. And for her courtship commentary, it says, I loved the courtship and Miss Remy is absolute fire. I love Miss Remy's family. Yes, because they go by, you know, their last names, like Miss Remy, Dr. Remy. Yes. The men are like mm-hmm. Mr. Shanklin, Mr. Cones, whatever.
Which I love that.
So do I. So I love the concept and I look forward to watching the whole season. There are many a fine dude there, so good luck narrowing it down to that. Also, bless her for making small talk with 16 men. Couldn't be me, but I'm happy for her.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what people got to do on these dating shows. For me, it would be like five people. I'd be like, ooh, my introvert tendencies is kicking in. See y'all.
Yep, that's it. It's like deuces. I'm out. But it's going good. So far, so good. Y'all seem to be liking the courtship. Those people who have come into our DMs and talked to me about it, I appreciate you. And so now it's on to Lex for mm-hmm. the data. Let's go, Lex. What's on the data file this week?
All right, let's talk about what I asked y'all last week. Last week I asked, Jen, I don't even think I told you what I asked. We didn't get
I think we did so, you know, talk about it, but not like seriously.
No, I don't think I even told you what I ended up putting up. It has nothing to do with what we talked about. Last week I asked y'all, what time are you ending Taco Tuesday? Because I wanted to get a feel for who's really out here doing Taco Tuesday hella late. So I'll start from the lowest. 0% of y'all said 3 a.m. plus, which I expected. 0% of y'all said 11 p.m. 33% of you said 9 p.m. So some of y'all got Taco Tuesday till late. And 67% of you said 7 p.m., which is when I would end Taco Tuesday too. That is when Taco Tuesday ends.
That makes sense. I agree with you. Everyone who says 7 p.m., I'm on your side.
Yeah. And then I told y'all, drop some tips to steal a man, because Shayna obviously needs help. So. Junkie Brown Butt says, think about what Shayna would do and do the opposite. Yes, I agree. Shayna, you hear? Just do the opposite, girl. That's how you steal a man. And then MJ said, quality time and baked goods. And absolutely agree, because yep. men love quality time. They love attention and they love
food. They do.
So, mm-hmm. and it's, if it's one more thing I would add, is just invite a man over to your house, because men seem to never want to leave. When you invite them to your house, they never want to leave.
They're moving, like, so they pay rent. Yes, and what?
Yeah,
go
up. Exactly.
What up? No?
Sorry, so you don't want to leave. All right, you're gonna make yourself something to eat. All right.
Yes, exactly. It's very weird, very wild. Oh, but in other quick Love is Blind news that I forgot to mention, Shayna's engaged. Shayna's got a whole ass fiance now.
Poor Kay?
Yeah.
What?
I wonder if he's a man of God. That's all I gotta say. That's all I wanna know.
Shayna's engaged. Somebody saw that and said, yes, I want to get married to this woman.
She engaged. I mean, they finished filming Love is Blind last year, I think in June. So this must have happened between May, June last year, and now it's the point of engagement. But shout out to her, I guess.
I guess. If you all are set on that, then I guess. Now I really wonder if he's Christian or not.
Yeah.
This is very perplexing
I gotta know. But that's all I have today. Do you have anything else you want to add? I just remembered that last bit before we were trying to wrap up.
Thanks for telling me that, because I had zero clue. The other thing I wanted to add, I think we talked about it briefly last episode, but Love is Blind Dallas is coming. Yes. They did Love is Blind Dallas, so it's already filmed and everything. I guess they just need to edit it so we don't have to wait another 2 years for Love is Blind. So I'm looking forward to that to make up for the shit show that is this season. It was still entertaining, I'm not gonna lie. Still entertaining. Can't wait for next season.
Yes, I hope Dallas has a lot more Black people. Yes. I'm putting that out there and I'm saying that shit with my chest. Like, there should have been a lot more Black people included in these pods. In Atlanta and in Chicago. There should be a lot more Black people here. Yeah, let's get some more Negroes in this, okay? Let's get some more Negroes. Thank you.
Let's just get some more people of color in general. Let's get some size variation too, because I really hate Netflix for gaslighting us and being like, oh yeah, we got some size variation, and then featuring none of them. Yeah. Absolutely zero. What was the whole point of
that? We just got to watch them be asked uncomfortable questions about their body by Shake. Thanks.
Exactly. Like, we didn't get to know these people at all. So what was the point of that? Anyway, I think a lot of people were calling them out from last season and being like, duh, Love is Blind. If you get all these conventionally attractive people and put them in a room together, like, obviously they're going to be okay with it. And then Netflix was like, all right, let's do something different. And then they still focused on the same conventionally attractive people. So shame on you, Netflix. Do better.
Yeah, it is what it is. We'll just have to see what next season brings.
Yeah.
And we'll see if they really have any kind of interesting choices moving forward in all reality shows in general, because I think size variation is super important in all reality shows, especially the dating ones. So I'm going to be keeping my eye out for any more representation as we move through this world.
For sure, for sure. But that's it for me. I don't know if I have anything else I want to talk about. I'm trying to think personal life-wise, because y'all have told us you want to hear more about our personal lives. Ain't shit.
We can't share half the shit that Lex and I talk about. We can't share any of that.
No, we can't. I was just thinking, wait, I can't tell you. I can't tell them anything that we just talked about.
The conversation prior to recording this, you guys can know nothing about it. Like, nothing.
Absolutely nothing. No, not even hinting. Like, it can't happen. But otherwise, I'm doing great. We're doing great. I went on a terrible date the other day. I told Jen all about it. This man vomited all over my bathroom. And, oh, I ran into him today, randomly, which was very random. And he was on a date, too. So I was like, okay, so you're doing good without me. Great. Wonderful. I don't have to see you again. Beautiful.
Works for me. I have not been on a date. Yes. I'm supposed to go to maybe this queer happy hour thing, or there's a game that's launching that's similar to like Cards Against Humanity, but for queer people. I don't know. Oh. We're gonna see. So I'm supposed to go to that tomorrow at this little Lady 11 bar. I don't know if I'm going or not yet, because that means leaving the house, and I don't think I'm sold on that. But I'm not planning to go with anyone else, and that's why I have the flexibility of just deciding if I want to go or not late. So we'll have to see. If not this week, I'm definitely going out next week. And I have some friends coming in April that we're going to be doing some fun stuff. One of the polyamorous groups that I'm a part of, they're having this happy hour event mid next month. So I'm excited to go and see some of these people. I know them like in real life, and some I absolutely do not. So it'd be great to meet all these people I've been talking to for the past 2 years. Like, in real life.
Yeah, like, that'll be fun. It'll be
super fun. So I'm excited for that. That's going to happen mid-April. So between now and then, I may or may not leave the house. You don't know.
I hope you do, Jen. That event tomorrow sounds fun. You should go.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, fine. I might go. But that's all you're going to get from me today. So I'm Jen, she's Lex, and we are the Blatchettes. Catch you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.